Get in on the conversation now. Text the show at 960-960. Boomer in the morning. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning. Brought to you by ATB Financial. Your home ice advantage. Know someone whose quiet hard work makes hockey happen in your community? Nominate them for ATB's Home Ice Hero Award at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Set your day. Get it ready. Pindering at 9 o'clock, Joe Siddle, color voice of the Toronto Blue Jays, going to be his guest on a game day. Not just a game day, but the first playoff game day in 20 years. We'll get you to noon. Steinberg, Hockey Central at noon. We'll get you into the early part of the afternoon. Then at 1:30, we jump to Toronto for the Jays and Rangers. Back to the big show with Kerr, and then Thursday Night Football, the Texans hosting the Indianapolis Colts. What a day. What a day. Yesterday, not so much a day, at least for the Calgary Flames. It was great. Not so much a time. Vancouver came in and beat the Flames by a score of 5-1. Thoughts from where he sat with Derek Wills.
Wills in the morning, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. The biggest year-end 4x4 blowout is on now. Ram starting at $57 a week and your choice of free heated seats or remote starts. Shop where Geo and Bo shop. VarsityChrysler.com.
Well, I know for us, a little surprised or a lot surprised to see how this thing started, because last year it was all about the effort and they didn't cheat you. I wonder if maybe the players just kind of expected, like the fans, that this was just going to pick up where it left off, and the answer, a resounding no.
Yeah, you could be right. And we were lucky enough to have the general manager, Brad Treliving, on our pregame show last night, and he did say that, you know, that was the one area where he was confident this team would never cheat their fans or cheat themselves, and that was in the area of effort. And I do think that, you know, certain guys and at times the entire team worked hard last night, but they didn't work very smart. I thought they over-pursued a lot of pucks, maybe went looking for body checks a little bit too often. And it was outside of the first 10 minutes, just a bad night. But hey, good teams have bad nights. And all four teams that played on home ice last night to open their season lost. And it's not a great way to start.
No, it's not a great way to start. And I don't know if it's comforting or concerning. No one really played very well. It's not as though a couple of mistakes did them in. From top to bottom, I don't think there's anyone who's going to look in their mirror and say, well, you know, I was okay. I think everybody has to pretty much be on record as being very much off their game.
Yeah, I think it's both a good thing and a bad thing. And that's actually going to be one of my bold predictions coming up later on relating to how poorly a bunch of guys played. But, you know, when everybody has an off night all on one night, I think it does reassure you that that is unlikely to happen very often. I mean, for so many guys who rarely have off nights, they just all seem to have off nights last night. It was really bizarre. Now, the first 10 minutes of the game, fantastic. There's a fight 2 seconds in, which I thought was fitting. Clearly the Canucks had a score to settle with Michael Ferland after the way he played versus them in the postseason last year. So he starts, Derek Dorsett starts, they drop the gloves, and they get that score settled. Get it out of the way. Good. I like the way both teams handled that. There's another fight 8 minutes and 2 seconds in, and I thought in the first 8 or 10 minutes, the Flames played really well. They had a ton of energy. They were feeding off the crowd at Scotiabank Saddle Dome. They had some great scoring opportunities. They just couldn't put the puck in the net. And then the Canucks, to their credit, really turned the game around. They had a power play around the 5-minute mark. There was that second fight at the 8-minute mark. And that seemed to kind of get the Canucks back on track. They weathered that early storm. And then they took the game over, and I thought they executed almost to perfection last night. So you have to give credit where credit is due.
And Bob Hartley, we spend, again, foolishly, and we know that, but leading up to a game, we don't have much else to go on. But the lines that we assume we'll see, the top line stayed together for the most part, but everything else, Bennett on the wing, Bennett at center, staging with, it was all over the place, and really, on one hand, no one really got a chance to get too comfortable with anybody. But on the other side, there was no spark to be found.
No, and I think Bob Hartley was trying to find a spark. He was trying to find some chemistry somewhere through his lineup, and it just wasn't happening last night. I think the three best words to describe the Flames last night, out of sync. They looked out of sync for the final 50 minutes of that hockey game. Might have something to do with the fact that they do have some new defense pairings this season. Two of the three are new pairings. Then it's going to maybe take a little bit of time for, you know, Mark Giordano and Dougie Hamilton to develop some chemistry together. The same can be said for Derek Englund and Brett Kulak, although, and this says a mouthful, I think they were the Flames' best defense pairing last night. And up front, they've got some new combinations as well, and it might just take a little bit of time for these guys to develop chemistry. Now, with that said, I think that they're going to be just fine. And as they develop chemistry, they're going to play a lot better than they did last night. It was just one of those nights where nothing was working. It's just really unfortunate that it happens with a packed house on opening night.
Yeah, no, that's, and you know what? There wasn't a lot of these last year, even on the road in the middle of the season in the dog days with injuries. That would have been right up there with one of the worst two or three games they played all year last year. That's kind of not the tone you want to set.
No, it's not the tone you want to set, but I think it's a bad thing and also a good thing. A good thing in the sense that it's a wake-up call. It's an early wake-up call for this team. If there were any players on the team that thought it was going to be easier this year, I think they learned a pretty hard lesson last night. It's not going to be easy, especially in the Pacific Division and in the Western Conference. There is a lot of parity. There are a lot of good teams. And if you look at last night's action, NHL Faceoff 2015, opening night around the league, there were four games. All four home teams lost. Now, going into the season, I think you guys will agree when I say that everybody thought that the Flames and the Kings were going to be playoff teams, and just about everybody thought that the Canucks and the Sharks wouldn't be. Well, last night, the Canucks, a team a lot of people think will fall back this season, go on the road and beat the Flames 5-1. The Sharks, a team that took a step back last year, they go on the road, they beat the Kings 5-1. So the Flames weren't the only team that had an off night, an opening night, and it's up to them to bounce back and try to split this home and home on Saturday.
Well, and I don't disagree, and it's one game, and let's not overdo it. But for me, where have the young guys been emotionally even throughout preseason? Other than Kulak and guys, Ryan Wilson trying to make the team, Sam Bennett's been non-existent in my opinion. Gaudreau, hard to find. Even Monahan, they're not showing up. And I can see an older guy like a David Jones kind of mucking his way through a preseason and not getting noticed. But these guys should be out there giving her a little bit more.
And the funny thing is, David Jones, I thought, was arguably the most noticeable player for the Flames in the preseason. I thought him and Matt Stajan were fantastic. I thought Stajan was good last night. Jones did not have a good night. I thought Sam Bennett was okay last night, but I do see what you were saying. He was not as noticeable as we thought that he would be during the preseason, especially in the first half of the preseason. I thought after he finally got that monkey off his back and scored a goal, he got better and played better in the remainder of the preseason. But I can see where you're coming from. You know, Sean Monahan, I thought, was good at times last night. I thought Johnny Gaudreau struggled in last night's game, but there were a lot of Flames that really did struggle. I mean, if you look at the roster from last night, it's hard to come up with five guys who played okay. And on my list are some guys who you would think would be closer to the bottom of the depth chart. I mentioned Derek Englund and Brett Kulak, and I thought Kulak maybe fought it a little bit. Was probably trying to fight the nerves in the first period, but I thought he was pretty solid in the second and third periods. Thought Englund had a pretty solid night. But the top four guys, uncharacteristically, were not very good, and they didn't have very many of those nights individually or collectively last season. So there's only one way for this team to go, and that's up.
Johnny, Derek Wills, we talk about learning that lesson. There's certainly things to learn. There's room for improvement. We won't know until Saturday night's game is over, until basically we'll find out if they have made those adjustments. What do you expect to see in goal, and is there a chance that maybe Mason Raymond steps in, because not many guys earned their keep last night?
Well, let me ask you a question before I answer that goaltending question. What did you guys think of Kari Rahmo last night? Now, normally this would be an easy question to answer because he did give up five goals, but there seems to be a real split on how people feel about his performance last night.
Didn't like the sitting goal from an inch off the goal line, I'll say that.
I didn't like the Hansen goal. I didn't like the Sedin goal.
And that's enough to lose your job. Two bad goals.
But he made some real huge saves as well, and was steady at times. I'm on record with Ramo. He was okay, right? He didn't cost them the game.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it. He tends to have really high highs and really low lows, and we maybe saw that to all in last night's game. I think that he was better than most people seem to. I certainly don't think that he cost them the hockey game either, Boomer, but I do think that we are likely to see a change in goal for Saturday, and I would lean towards it being Jonas Hiller simply because Bob Hartley, you know, came out earlier in the week and made it pretty clear that his top two goaltenders were the two veteran guys, at least for the time being. But hey, when the Flames needed a big win last season, do you remember Joni Ordio coming in, going to Vancouver and shutting out the Canucks? So maybe, you know, Bob Hartley surprises everybody and goes with this young guy. And clearly Ordio is a guy who has confidence playing against that team and in that building. So you never know. As far as other lineup changes, don't forget that after a 4-2 loss to the Canucks in their season opener last season, Bob Hartley made a bold move. And he sat veteran defenseman Dennis Wideman in the press box for game number two. Now, I'm not saying he's going to do that with Dennis again this season, but I would not be surprised to see somebody sit and to see Mason Raymond come in. He's a former Canuck. Sometimes guys get sparks playing against their old team. Mason did play really well in his last preseason game, and I think has a bit of a chip on his shoulder and something to prove right now. So it would almost surprise me if Mason didn't get into the lineup on Saturday night.
It's going to get a hat trick, just like last year.
That'd be something.
That, you know what that would be? That would be bold. Oh! Jay?
Bold!
All right. We said we were going to make some time for you because yesterday it was a bit of a swing and a miss for you, quite frankly. You texted back immediately. You wanted back in. We have some time for round number two, I guess, of bold predictions. Lay some on us now.
Well, it's Pinder's fault, really. It's like the other night when he texted me 3 minutes before a fantasy draft for hockey and asked me if I wanted to get in. I wasn't prepared yesterday, but my bold prediction was not bold at all. Looked it up in the dictionary, and it was a big swing and a miss. I struck out, so I'm going to try again.
All right.
My first bold prediction, I think I came up with it after last night's game. So number one, that is the worst performance we will see from the Flames on home ice this season. The worst.
What?
Meh.
Yep. They might lose by a larger margin, but they will not play that poorly at home again. All season. That was game one. All season.
All right.
Well, you've really made up for it now.
Well, no.
So hold on. I'm starting slow.
He's warming up. All right. So worst home ice loss of the year. Thank God. Okay. All right.
Number two. It's been, a decade plus since the Flames have gone to Anaheim and beat the Ducks at Honda Center. They will win not only once, they will win twice in Disneyland this year.
Oh!
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 Wow! So, who do you think you are
coming on this show
being so bold?
That is incredibly bold.
Two wins.
There's a lot of history there, Derek.
That's right.
Here for one year, you think you can end this curse
and then do it again?
Good heavens, that's bold. That is definitely bold. Well done.
Yeah, one more.
All right.
For you. Okay.
All right.
Last season, Yuri Hudler finished in the top 10 in league scoring. This season, Johnny Gaudreau will finish in the top 10 in the race for the Art Ross Trophy. And as a bonus, for the second straight season, a member of the Flames will win the Lady Byng. Last year it was Yuri Hudler. This year it will be Johnny Gaudreau.
Yes, that's pretty bold.
All right.
So, yeah, it
top
is.
10 in scoring and the Lady Byng.
Yeah, did I do better today?
That's much better.
You just cost the Flames better. A ton of money. That extension is going to be outrageous thanks to you,
Derek. That's well done. That's well done. Well, good job, man. Enjoy a couple days here. We'll be very interested to see how things go on Saturday, and then we'll talk to you on Mondays. We're now into it, right? It's that now we're back into that grind and that routine, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be fun, and I'm looking forward to practice today. It could be interesting.
Yeah,
this will not be hot lapsing off the ice.
Thanks, Derek.
See you guys. Have a good
Wheels
weekend.
Wheels in the Morning, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. The biggest year-end 4x4 blowout is on now. Ram starting at $57 a week, and your choice of free heated seats or remote starts. Shop where Geo and Bo shop. VarsityChrysler.com.
bold predictions. That was pretty bold. See, I would have said even one win in Anaheim.
Well, that's way too bold.
Would have been bold.
Yep.
He doubled up.
He's been here 1 year. I don't think he understands the depth and the severity of this curse.
Hey, does he know how good I had to play in that game to get that last win?
That's right.
Connie have three apples or something like that?
That tells you. I mean, the lineup in that game. Good God Almighty! But that's bold. Did you get a lot of reaction to bold predictions yesterday?
I did. There was a lot of people that liked the boldness. Not Pinders particularly, really liked the idea.
Yeah.
I got sent the definition of bold from numerous dictionaries and websites, screenshotted and delivered to my Twitter account. So thank you for that. I guess I didn't know what the word meant.
For those that missed it, now, what were your most bold of bold predictions?
Ferlin, 20 goals.
20 goals for Michael Ferlin.
That's bold.
Rhett, you had the Hawks trading Patrick Kane.
Yep. Missing the playoffs.
And a 55-goal season for Phil Kessel.
I win. Yeah. Is there a win-loss column with this one?
I just think, at what point does bold turn into ludicrous?
It's still bold.
Right, so then we'll say the NHL will have their outdoor game on the moon this year. No, bold!
That's pretty bold. That's kind of bold to say that.
That's ridiculous.
It's a little bold.
If you can't take it somewhat seriously, just don't worry about it then. Obviously, you've lost a lot of sleep lately.
So you are likening a potential Patrick Kane trade or a missing of the playoffs to playing an outdoor game on the moon?
No, Kessel 55 is the equivalent of that.
I disagree.
Hey, they found ice on Mars. You can play there.
And what I had the Blues missing the playoffs.
No, we forced you into it because you wanted to say eighth.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. Okay,
you were fencing it. Yeah. It's like,
what else did I? Because I thought, in fairness, I thought I was pretty bold.
Columbus with home ice, you thought was really stepping out.
And everyone else in the league is
kind of thinking that could
giving it to him.
Well,
No. You don't get a retake.
I can't revisit.
And he had Pittsburgh missing the playoffs too.
Yeah, I've got Pittsburgh and St. Louis missing the playoffs. I read somewhere yesterday, somebody had the Penguins beating the Wild for the Cup.
I hope that's not the case. That'd be very boring.
You know what that is? That's not bold.
That's lame.
Well, that's kind of bold.
Why don't we come back? Eric Dehatchik.
Oh,
talk about bold.
You think we'll get him into some
so bold?
Can I get you into some bold predictions, Eric?
His thoughts on a lopsided 5-1 loss on home ice for the Flames last night in the home opener. Dehatchik next, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the morning, only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning, brought to you by ATB Financial, your home ice advantage. Nominate your community's unsung hero for ATB's Home Ice Hero Award at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Little Big Sugar for your artist of the day. Color voice of the Toronto Blue Jays, Joe Siddle, coming up just after 9 o'clock with Ryan Pinter. Of course, big game today. Jays, Rangers, we are going to take care of you. It is an afternoon game. If you can't get away, now I think you can stream this thing online. If you go to sportsnet.ca, I think you can stream this thing. And of course, you can listen to it right here starting at 1:30. It's a 1:37 first pitch. So one way or the other, you can get your Jays on today. At 8:27, we bring in our hockey insider.
Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Eric Dehatchik, brought to you by Eastside Kia's award celebration. Save $4,000 on a 2015 Kia Sportage all-wheel drive. Pay just $25,310 or finance for just $155 biweekly. See eastsidekia.ca.
I'm here. Just relax. She's got DeForest yelling at me. I just want to be prepared when I bring Eric Dehatchik on. I don't want to be scrambling around. Eric, what'd you make of that?
Scintillating.
What'd you make of that home opener last night?
Oh, boy.
And you didn't. You waited for that. You didn't go to preseason.
Well, that's not true. I was at the last two preseason games. Wrong.
All right.
But I don't know. I mean, I was thinking. I think I've only missed one opener since they've been here, and they had the stat that, you know, as a franchise, I think they've won 12 out of 43, and so I was, I think, steeled for disappointment because it did seem as if, you know, like we've all been building them up. Everybody's been building them up, and often, you know, what happens is that you have a press fall. It just it is just human nature. You know, nobody's given the Canucks any love. I think one of the Vegas odds makers that sends me the odds had them as the 13th choice in the conference, and it's like, wow, this is a situation that's ripe for problems, and that's what happened. I mean, I think that they'll get back to work today, and they talked about playing their game and all of the cliches that you hear after a loss like that. But I do think that that's one of those things where you just sort of say, okay, forget it. That was an aberration. You know, those types of things happen. It seems to happen to this franchise a lot over the years. So they have to pick up how they did last year. Remember last year they had that. Laid an egg in the opener, went up to Edmonton and played well, won, and really carried that momentum, into the month. And I think that's the, they all want to talk about game at a time, and they can't look at the, the larger picture. But, Giordano must have said it, 10 times in camp. I know I was there a couple of times, and we were talking about it. You just have to be good off the start of the season. You can, once in a while a team like Ottawa can, put a miracle comeback up like they did last year. But most of the time, if you get off to a good start in October, then when you hit those bumps in the roads that everybody hits, you have a cushion. And so that was their game plan and what worked for them last year. And the type of team that they've got, they're not that good. I mean, they are not ready to contend for a Stanley Cup. They know that there's growing pains. These are young players. Sometimes there's a little bit of over-anxiousness, really. I mean, did you not think that, that everybody, wasn't that they weren't trying, they were trying too hard. It looked like, they were over-pursuing the puck. They were just out of sync. The game, the way it's played, it's almost like a choreographed ballet. There's, the systems are so precise, and the style of hockey that you play is so well-coached that, when you get out of it, you create open ice, and that's what the Canucks had. They had lots of open ice, they had lots of possession, and it was pretty one-sided.
I'm being pretty critical of the young guys so far. I felt like they were non-existent, and I'm talking about Gaudreau and Monahan and those kinds of... They didn't show me the emotion in training camp, which I guess maybe Monahan meant it's his third year, but Bennett... He wasn't flying around like he was last year. Gaudreau wasn't giving her. And yes, it's training camp, and yes, they know they're going to make the team this year. But now it's game one. They still don't show up and show you anything that gets you excited. And to me, it felt like lack of emotion. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to say, from 200 feet above the ice.
Well, I was further away than that.
Yeah, I have to think about that for a minute.
Where it started for me, Eric, was the last exhibition game against Winnipeg.
Yeah,
where we're all saying, "Don't get injured." It's okay, fine, but why was Winnipeg out there working and their young guys showing how good they are?
That's not a bad point. I mean, I have to say, like I said, I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. I mean, there is a temptation sometimes, and I guess it's a natural human thing to sort of exhale a little bit. You've accomplished what you accomplished the first year, and you just think that, we'll get it going eventually. I mean, I think that usually happens to, to teams like, say, Chicago, that have won a championship and that know that they've got time to get it going. I mean, I hope they don't realize, they don't think that that it will be okay, because we can push a button somewhere along the way here and we'll get our act together. So, I mean, there's two ways of looking at the fact that there's a couple of days between the games. There is that one aspect, like where last year, I mean, they went right to Edmonton and played the next night. And sometimes that's how you get the memory of a bad game out of your system. Just, it's in the background. You go out and you play better. And, I think that was the night that Mason Raymond had a big night, Joe Colburn had a big night, and all of a sudden everything was well again. Or you've got, a couple of days of practice, and this gives the coaching staff a chance to say, okay, you know, have we got your attention? Have we got your attention? So what happened last night is unacceptable. If that continues to happen, then we're not a playoff team. And all you young guys that are, you know, waiting for your big contracts after this, you're not going to get them because, you know, we need to see consistency. The one thing that, to, you know, that distinguishes the great pros in the National Hockey League from all of the guys that come and go is consistency. You can have the odd flat game like that, and you can, you know, walk through the preseason because that's what, you know, a lot of teams do, but we need to see more. And so you've got their attention, you've got 2 days to prepare, and let's see what happens on Saturday night. You know, it's one game, it's too early to worry about it, but I think they'll have the coaching staff's attention when they get back on the ice this morning.
I agree with you, and I think we'd all be shocked if we don't see Hiller. There's a get-your-attention moment you change your goalie. They do have an open roster spot. Another way to, you know, shake the tree a little bit, bring up someone and sit a regular. You know, last year it was Dennis Wiedemann sitting game two against Edmonton. They don't have an extra defenseman, but they do have an empty roster spot. Maybe Garnet Hathaway comes in and stirs things up after a physical game one.
Well, that's actually not a bad suggestion. I think that, like Ferland, I mean, the whole tone was set by that fight in the first 2 seconds, and then Ferland, acquitted himself quite well. But it was interesting to me because I looked at Vancouver's starting lineup, I hadn't seen them play in the preseason, but I thought to myself, okay, that's not a regular line, right? Like Horvat is not out there with those two guys, Preston and Dorsett. So what are they doing here? And then it's like, well, obviously they're sending a message because of the way things ended last year, and Ferland ran right over them. And let's face it, I mean, one of the reasons that Vancouver lost that playoff series was because I think that, you know, that Calgary had an edge in the physical intimidation game. So by starting, you know, those two guys in their building, you know, Vancouver was sending a message. And so, you know, Hartley, I think, obliged them by putting Ferland on the ice. I mean, that would have been a really good opportunity to have, you know, like a neutral kind of a unit out there, you know? or maybe you start with Bolig. But, you know, but because Ferland was such a focal point in the series last year, he's out there, and it's tap, 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 Dorsett. I mean, I had my eye on those two guys. I mean, you knew what was going to happen, and so, you know, saw exactly how that sequence went. I know a few of the other writers were saying, how did that happen? I said, why weren't you watching that? Couldn't you see what was going to happen there? And so I think that even though, you know, I don't think Dorsett won the fight, I thought Ferland did. I thought that, that collectively, you know, Vancouver grew in stature a little bit because of that. And then, you know, Preston went and picked the fight with Bolig before the, you know, 10-minute mark. And it just seemed to, you know, change the whole momentum of the game because Calgary really wasn't bad off the bat. I mean, they got momentum from that fight. And I thought that their start was pretty good. And then the game just sort of turned right around that, the time of the second fight, and then they weren't very good after that. So I don't know. You know, I mean, people talk about, you know, fighting in the game and what it means and does it have a place, but it has proven in the past to be a means of shifting momentum. And I thought that, you know, in the case of the second fight, which was more of a draw, and you know, Prest as a new guy is trying to make an impression on his teammates and his new organization, and right around then is when the game turns. So maybe a guy like Hathaway, is the answer, because now you're going into Vancouver and you probably want to send a message just as they sent a message when they went into your building.
He wasn't great, but he wasn't at fault for the loss. Kari Rammo, a couple he'd like back, but some big saves mixed in there as well, which is kind of what you get with him.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say that he will not be back in the net on Saturday night?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, the one thing about Rammo, and you know, like I don't mean to be very critical of him, but that has been the pattern. That is the player that I see when I watch. You know, like a guy, if you don't watch the games and you only watch the highlight package, every night, you know, you're going to see Rammo making, like, some unbelievable saves, like the one right at the start of the game, the 2-on-1 with the Sedins, where, you know, that should have been a goal, and he turns and he gets the, you know, the Daniel shot with the paddle of his stick, it looked like. And so, you know, he will be, you know, Mr. Highlight of the Night a couple of times. But But at the bottom, you know, what I want to do is see a guy that, you know, has about a 2.10 goals against average and a consistent 920 or 925 save percentage. And while he'll give you one or two of those saves every night, you know, there'll be a couple that you think, would have liked to see him stop that.
And I've been saying this for a long time, Eric. To me, it's just too high risk, high reward.
Yeah.
Style-wise, I don't know that there is any. He's very athletic. But there, like you say, there's no reliability in what you're going to get.
Sure. I mean, everybody wants Carey Price, right? You know, you watch that first game, I watched the first two periods or the first period and a half, and it's just like, wow, this guy is in control, moves from post to post. You know, he's not on the highlight reel. Why? Because he's always in position. He's always like a half a beat ahead of the play. So, you know, like when you're a little bit behind and you're not quite, you know, at that level that Carey Price is, that's when you have to make those highlight reel type saves. So, you know, and you know, Hiller, you know, is flawed in the sense that, you know, like there's a lot of, you know, big rebounds, and so it's a different game when he's in there. I think he's he moves more, you know, precisely from one side of the net to the other, and you know, there's an economy of motion that you don't see in Ramo's game, but I don't love his rebound control. So I mean, I do think here's why I start Hiller, because last year, when you went into the playoffs and you went into Vancouver and you needed to win a game, Hiller won that game for you. He was excellent. And they won that series because Calgary went into Vancouver for game one and won that. That, to me, is the reward, you know, for, you know, now it's your turn. And, you know, Bob Hartley said, you know, our system is going to be, you know, if you play well, you continue to play. If you don't, we're going to let somebody else have an opportunity. So, you know, lots of pressure on him, but he's a veteran guy, and he has gone into that building and won a big game for you before, and he needs to do that. And if he does, you know, then he's back in net on Tuesday against St. Louis. Somewhere along the line, I think they want to see Ordeo. And the reason is because, you know, they didn't want to risk sending him to the minors because they were afraid that they could lose him on waivers. I mean, J.F. Berube got claimed, right? J.F. Berube got claimed on waivers. So, you know that you know, there are teams out there that are trying to get goaltenders.
Now, do you think, Eric, that they involves Bob Hartley? Because he came out the other day and said who his two goalies were, and it was the two veterans.
Yeah. Well, I think he wants to see performance, you know. There is a pecking order, and the pecking order is Ramo 1, Hiller 2, Ordeo 3. But, you know, now it's Hiller's opportunity to play. And then, depending on how that game goes, you know, like, you know, do you play Ordeo at home against St. Louis if you're 0-2? You know, somewhat risky, but, you know, do you come back with Ramo? I mean, don't you have to find out about Ordeo?
You do.
Okay, well, so when are you going to, you know, like every game is important and every 2 points matter. And at the end of the season, if you miss by two or four or whatever, you know, are you going to say it was the goaltending decision in game three or six or eight that does it? But, you know, I mean, this is a competitive business. And you know, like the door feels open a crack right now based on the way the game went last night for him to at least get a look sometime in October.
Yeah.
And that will be interesting because I'm saying that, you know, and he could lay an egg too. You don't know.
Yeah. But they won't know until they get him in there. Back-to-back games, next weekend? So that feels like a long way away. Hey, have yourself a fine weekend. We'll talk to you on Tuesday, and can't even imagine to think what we'll know by then.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, boy.
Thanks, Eric.
Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Eric Duhatchik, brought to you by Eastside Kia's award celebration. Save $4,000 on a 2015 Kia Sportage all-wheel drive. Pay just $25,310 or finance for just $155 biweekly. See eastsidekia.ca.
We now sit at about 8:42. We're going to run down what the your broadcast day looks like. You got to set yourself up for what we've got, because we've got football and we got more hockey and we've got a big-time baseball game early this afternoon as well. Of course, what you want to talk about, you'll get your say. Conflicting reports on the fan feedback line as it pertains to Kari Ramo. Your thoughts on him, your thoughts in the Flames, or just whatever you need to get off your chest when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 mornings with Boomer in the Morning on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960.
making our way towards 9 o'clock, mentioned you've got a busy day if you want to get settled in here. Coming up after 9 o'clock, Joe Siddle, color voice of the Toronto Blue Jays. They're going to be busy. He's going to be busy. We're going to go with Pinder till 10. Romy's going to take you to noon. Hockey Central at noon, and Steinberg rolls you through until about 1:30. We then go to Toronto. 1:37 first pitch between the Jays and the Texas Rangers in Game 1 of the ALDS. At its conclusion, back to Calgary, Rob Kerr with the big show.
Well, Flames at 5.
And when he's completed Flames at 5, we then go to Houston as the Texans will host the Indianapolis Colts, where it sounds as though it is going to be Matt Hasselbeck for the second straight week, starting at quarterback in place of Andrew Luck.
Adam Schefter reporting it. He's one of the best. He's not wrong very often. And if he's saying Hasselbeck's starting, that means you're gripping if you're an Indy fan. They've not been good, but that's their best player by a mile.
Boy, and barely won last week. I mean, lucky to win that game. He's bald. He's a bald quarterback.
He's the best. That's right. When you predict, we want the ball, we're going to win.
Yeah, it didn't really work out. So, yeah, stick around just after the top of the hour. Joe Siddle in conversation with Pinder in advance of the big game one coming up later this afternoon. But right now it's time to do the thing where we take your text and the people.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. The biggest year-end 4x4 blowout is on now. Ramp starting at $57 a week and your choice of free heated seats or remote starts. Shop where Geo and Bo shop. VarsityChrysler.com.
960-960 mobile phone. You have thoughts, fire them through. Ramo is a bum. The guy's all over the place. Can we just be honest with ourselves and get Ordeo in there? Again, I don't know that Ordeo's a slam dunk. I want to see him. I'd like him to have a shot. I'm with Ramo. What am I going to do? Just continue to beat this guy up? I'm saying it for 2 years. Can't wait for TJ Brody to get back. It probably wouldn't have hurt. I don't know that one player was going to make a difference last night.
No, but you do miss him. You notice there's just that mobility on the back end. He is it, man. Like, he can absolutely skate out of so many difficult situations.
One word, overcommits. Ramo is the last thing you want from a goalie, inconsistent. It's coming on.
A lot different than
one word. Look out.
Hey, Rhett, lay off Monahan. When have you ever seen him show emotion? He is not the most...
Play with emotion. I don't care.
No slap shots around my RV.
Did you know that Monahan has an RV?
I don't have an RV.
Don't take any slap shots around his RV. You don't do it.
That's where I get my best pregame naps.
I'd like an RV.
Not a lot of emotion there either, is there?
What a horrible performance last night. No hustle, no second effort. Like we expected Van to just let us win. Team needs to get back to desperate North-South hockey.
He shoots, he scores.
Mike Smith from Arizona would look nice in a Flames jersey. That's from G in Chestermere.
Not if he looked like the Mike Smith we saw in Arizona last
year. Ooh. You're out to lunch, and it's only 8:50.
England is the worst.
Am I out to lunch? G is.
England is the worst defenseman in the entire league, and it's not even close. The fact he's on this radar and guys like Burke and Hartley constantly defend his play is pathetic. Open your damn eyes, Bob. Ramo should be in the A rant over. Guy just needed to go off.
He's vented. He's all right. Better.
I just think you're out to lunch there, too. I mean, last year he comes in, Gio gets hurt, and he's playing 25 minutes. Everybody loves him. All of a sudden, he's the worst in the league?
Yeah. Guys get better when they play next to TJ, I'll say that. He didn't look so hot with old Schmid for the first half of the year.
Why weren't Ball and Rudy doing the play-by-play last night?
National game.
It's opening night, national game. That's how it goes. Sam Bennett's face needed to be on a milk carton last night because he was nowhere to be found. See what he's getting at there?
Mm-hmm. We have numbers in the jerseys, too, so you can help identify them.
That game last night was butt ugly. Signed Sue DL.
Sue took in the game.
Get a Sue to chime in. Weird that she's just down.
It is butt ugly out there. Not looking good.
I wonder if she left early to avoid traffic.
Dead deers.
But Darryl, does Bolig's switch from the number 25 to 52 mean that the Flames are going to retire Neuendijk's number?
Didn't they already forever flame him? I mean,
wasn't he's he quick? He's forever flame.
I thought they don't retire.
He's
Well, they should retire 12. Probably take care of Mika, but no, forever flame.
Hey,
why is the forever one the guys that left? Isn't forever like
I don't know.
Misinterpreting that word.
Hey, Boomer, I'm wearing my Blue Jays 1992 World Series champions hat today. Am I being a jinxie pants? I'm letting you off the hook today. Bathe in it.
Why would he be? Why is that jinxie?
It's I don't. Yeah, I think he's just concerned, right?
Well, you
don't
if it's Walker, then absolutely.
Yeah, you don't want to do anything. Boom, Daddy. Why do they still do the national anthem? What purpose does it serve? It's useless.
Show a little pride in your country, buddy.
Yeah. People have you guys had anything from the new mac and cheese / grilled cheese booth at the Dome? I've not.
I didn't even
see
it.
Oh, Canada, we stand on guard. We stand on guard for thee.
Well,
I don't know if that's how it goes.
Whatsoever we say, and the dawn still be.
Oh, that doesn't sound like words.
And the rise of Empire.
Who? What? Where's that going?
The bombs bursting in air.
There you go. There you go, sweetheart. How long?
What so proudly we hail.
Twilight's last gleaming.
After the Twilight's last gleaming.
Twilight's last gleaming.
Twilight's last gleaming.
Twilight's Jennifer. Jennifer. Twilight's last gleaming. How long until the Canadian club guy ends up in jail? Have you seen the Canadian club ads? The dude in the green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God shed his grace on me.
No.
She made it fit, though.
Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
No, it's not.
Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
Yeah, it's not. Oh, Christmas tree.
A lot of that.
Clean it up. Boomer, doesn't Gio look a little slow to you? Nowhere near the way he looked last year.
Oh,
I wouldn't say slow.
Hey, listen, we're the best at overreacting to one game because we have 4 hours of show to fill.
Sloppish.
However.
Yeah, more sloppish than slow.
But
you're stuck with him now.
Rhett wants to trade him.
Slow or not, you're stuck with him now.
That extension kicks in next year, Rhett. You can still lobby for the trade.
Well.
Nice to see that the Pocket Dogs are still holding down that 2-1 lead at the Dome. Dogs in the under is free money. Yeah, they're unbeaten.
That is so good.
It's true. They're always up.
Wow.
Great starts every night.
It's like the mid-90s Devils just trapping it to a 2-1 win every night.
Rammel will clear waivers. Do it now. I probably would.
You will, yeah. Absolutely. What do you do?
Not surprised the Flames lost. All the build-up you guys did to put so much pressure on them. So the loss is your fault.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
I don't disagree.
When the things fell apart in 06 after the lockout, that was the media's fault, right? Right? When you were playing?
Yeah, usually it's,
yes.
It's the media's fault.
And they really listen. The guys in the room, like they...
Oh, yeah. They're podcasting this in the afternoons.
Yeah. In Vancouver, this is... I'm guessing this is a Vancouver fan. I'd trade Sabisa for any Flames D. England is solid. Sabisa's a hot mess.
Why was he bad in the playoffs last year? Wow.
Whoa.
If you just ate something, don't go look at his contract. I'll say that.
Can we tell all these non-hockey playing fans out there to relax? It's one game. That's from Matt. Yeah. Huge Flames fan here. It's just one game. Tell people to shut it. Did Backlund play? Didn't see him. England is great if you like having the puck in your own end 70% of the time.
He had an ugly go in the first there for a while.
Love the hype to slow down a little bit. Slow down, Calgary. We'll rapid fire to end this thing here. Good first game. Only can get better from here. The game was like an exploded bag of garbage on the Deerfoot. Buckshot here. I love it. Keep losing. You're the new Colorado. Bah-ha-ha-ha. I shaved a flaming sea into my chest hair for my wedding. Rammel wasn't on point, but the rest of the team let 43 shots go to him, if I'm correct. 44. Lucic is already back... picking on guys. He cannot take a hit. That game was a big bag of garbage. Those the boys were looking like, two words, flat-footed. Rhett, potato wall or potato volcano for Thanksgiving dinner? It's not Ask Rhett, but, you know, I always go with the volcano.
What's that?
You take your wall? You take your mashed into a nice little, and then you...
Well, that's the reservoir. That's what we call that.
Yeah, well, whatever. One game in the bashing starts. Holy hell, people need to chill out. People need to relax. What was with the brawl in the stands?
Apparently it was a good scrap.
Boomer, Ramo was bad on two after 44 shots. You must be, he's saying I must be crazy. So what is he saying? That Ramo was worse on more than two, or that, I don't know.
Go Jays.
I'm changing goalies. That's what I'll say.
Is it too early for Roxette?
Ooh.
Less fire, less lasers, more fire. Two words, one game. Plan the parade or burn it down, idiots. Rhett, do the players even listen? I think they made it to the show. Of course they do.
Well, we know that the wide dog.
We know the wide dog does, right? We need Cron in net.
Another save, Cron!
Shut up, everyone. Pinder sucks. Hamilton worst on the ice. They should put Paul Romanuk on waivers. Saw Pinder yesterday at Fort Calgary. Seeing him in person makes me hate him even more. Jeez. Flames are who we thought they were. One word, flat-footed. Bold prediction, Bennett will win the Calder.
Bennett better wake up.
Yeah. Flames looked, Flames looked a little bit lazy. And a little unfit.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. The biggest year-end 4x4 blowout is on now. Ram starting at $57 a week and your choice of free heated seats or remote starts. Shop where Geo and Bo shop. VarsityChrysler.com.
You're flat-footed.
Big bag of garbage. A mattress in the left-hand lane.
Zoom, zoom.
Hey, Pat, f*** off.
What a bunch of shit that is.
I shit my pants last night.
I have no shoes on. I'm sorry.
Vodka beep.
God.
You have got to be kidding me.
Dead deers.
Thank God no one's listening to this.
Hell yeah.
I'm a jock.